This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
For co-host V Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. Today, more from the Next 10 Extra series, activating the state fairgrounds year-round. The Community Foundation for the Land of Lincoln, President and CEO John Stremsurfer, and their public policy advocate and community volunteer vice chair, Al Greswald, moderate a panel that includes Illinois Department of Agriculture Director Jerry Costello, International Association of Fairs and Expositions President and CEO Marla Calico, and Indiana State Fair Commission Executive Director Cindy Hoy, sharing their expertise on state fairs and fairgrounds around the country and how we should grow our fairgrounds here in Springfield. Here's John Stremsurfer to start the robust conversation on our Illinois State Fairgrounds.
This is our third in a series of what we are calling the Next 10 Extra Webinars to really further the discussion that's come about in our community about big ideas for the Central Illinois region. I grew up a block away from the state fairgrounds. It's been a big part of my life, like it has so many people here in Central Illinois and throughout the state of Illinois. I finally go to the state fair every year to get my Vosses corn dog religiously. You know, it opens a week or two before the state fair. As a child, I'll never forget, I could literally open my window at night laying in bed and listen to Willie Nelson from the grandstand performing, and pretty much every year during the Thompson administration, Al. It's really near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. And today I look forward to this discussion of how we can even further activate it year round. I'd like to introduce our moderator for today's discussion, Al Greswald. Professionally, Al is the legislative director for the Environmental Law and Policy Center. But affectionately for me, he's the vice chair of the board of the Community Foundation.
Welcome to what we hope will be a vibrant discussion about the Illinois State Fair. We have three excellent panelists who will discuss the potential of state fairs and answer questions about how we can boost the economic and social impacts of the Illinois State Fairgrounds. As John noted, the Community Foundation for the Land of Lincoln has engaged the public to get your ideas about how we can best improve our region and enhance the economic and cultural vitality of our community. The public recognizes the importance of the Illinois State Fair and respects the rich traditions that emanate from the fairgrounds. People believe the fair and the fairgrounds can offer more. The State Fair provides 10 days of fun and economic vitality, and fair officials have been very aggressive at marketing the fair for other events. But there is a sense that we can do more to have year-round events at the fair, and we're going to talk about that today. Illinois has conducted state fairs since the 1850s. Since 1890, it's been based in Springfield. More than 500,000 people a year, on average, attend the fair, and studies have estimated that that 10-day event alone has an economic impact of nearly $90 million. We are especially fortunate that our fairgrounds can boast of having many of its original buildings that have been restored and preserved for future generations. These historic buildings and the rich traditions of the Illinois State Fair make it a unique asset for Springfield and the region. We are fortunate to have a distinguished and knowledgeable panel joining us today. So let me introduce our three panelists. First is Jerry Costello, the director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Director Costello is a lifelong resident of Illinois, having grown up in the Metro East area and attended Southern Illinois University. He served in the U.S. Army 82nd Airborne Division and is a veteran of the Gulf War. Director Costello was elected to the Illinois House of Representatives and served 8 years. In the House, he served as chair of the House Ag Committee. And a year ago, Governor Pritzker appointed him to be the director of agriculture. Cindy Hoy has been with the Indiana State Fair for more than 30 years, and she has served as the executive director since 2004. She was a driving force in establishing the Indiana State Fair as one of the world's premier agricultural fairs. One of her accomplishments I want to highlight was a $63 million renovation of the Indiana Farmers Coliseum, which many of you may have recently seen when it was hosting NCAA basketball games. Cindy's an Indianapolis native. She attended Southern Methodist University. She worked as an intern at the Texas State Fair. She was a 4-H extension officer in Wisconsin, did special events for the Wisconsin State Fair, and then she returned to the Indiana State Fair. Marla Calico is president and CEO of the International Association of Fairs and Expositions, which is headquartered in Springfield, Missouri. The association represents 1,100 expositions, agricultural fairs, and shows around the world, and also has 700 associated businesses. Marla has been in her current position for nearly a decade and has spent more than 4 decades working in fairs in the fair and exposition industry. Prior to joining the association, Marla spent nearly 30 years working for the Ozark Empire Fair, also in Missouri. Marla is a frequent speaker at fair industry events and is regarded as one of the nation's experts on fairs and expositions. Director Costello, in your capacity as agriculture director, you oversee the Illinois State Fair. This past year has had its challenges, but looking beyond the 2020 pandemic and where we stand today and thinking about the long term, what do you believe are the 3 biggest challenges or opportunities facing the state fair?
So Al, thank you very much. And just very quickly, and I think you covered this briefly, I was appointed to the position March 2nd. March 17th, we went into the COVID period of operation. So it's been quite different than what my expectations were coming into the position. I chaired Ag and Conservation for 5 years in the House, was a member for 8 years, and have been to the old state fairs, Springfield and DuQuoin, numerous times over the course of my life. Canceling the state fair, having to cancel the DuQuoin State Fair, obviously was nothing that any of us took lightly. It was a tough decision. It was the right decision done in coordination with the Illinois Department of Public Health. But since then, people, especially in the Springfield area, they saw us cancel those fairs. We had to cancel other events that are held on the fairgrounds in person. But what we have done here on the fairgrounds in Springfield, we've held testing sites for the COVID pandemic. Numerous weeks, people could come to the Illinois State Fairgrounds and be tested for COVID. And now we are currently hosting a vaccination clinic here at the Springfield Fairgrounds. So it's a mass vaccination clinic, the capacity of several thousand people a day being vaccinated right here in Springfield. What I see as the 3 challenges is, what does the future of events look like on our fairgrounds and other fairgrounds throughout the country? While I believe we all see light at the end of the tunnel right now with the vaccinations, I really, really encourage people to get vaccinated. So hopefully we can get to that herd immunity stage of 75% of people or more being vaccinated in the state of Illinois and in the country. Second, we have to look at budgetary constraints. Coming off of the fiscal period we did because of COVID, what will budget and funding look like? And then third, as you mentioned earlier, while the Illinois State Fairgrounds here have a very, very historical significance, it's a beautiful facility. One of the things that we do have is older buildings, older facilities that have to be maintained. We went through almost a decade without a capital bill. We did just have a capital bill in 2019. So some of that money helps us play catch up. So maintenance is something that we have to, we're playing catch up, but we have to make sure that we're attending to as well.
Well, Jerry, we will come back to a couple of those issues as we continue the dialogue this morning. Cindy, let me turn to you if I may. The Indiana State Fair has often been described as a model of how states can maximize their facilities, a model for thinking outside the box. Your location helps. You're in a city of 900,000 people in a region of over 2 million, which we don't have that. But nevertheless, you guys have had great success. You have a very high reputation. What are some of the factors that have contributed to your success, and any lessons you would suggest we consider?
I had a chance to be on the fairgrounds, your fairgrounds property, 12 years ago. And you are right, Jerry. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a wonderful asset for the community. And I'm a little cautious. Not everything is going to work that maybe has worked in Indianapolis, but maybe I can throw out some ideas that, you know, you can chew on. And so I'm here in that kind of phase of just offering you suggestions and thoughts. We have been extremely focused on our multi-use of this property, maximizing this asset, and not only for us as an anchor institution, but for the community and how it affects the community. Our economic impact is close to $200 million in direct impact to this community, but also, most importantly, it's jobs. It's 400 jobs. So it's an important asset. We constantly think about multi-use. Just like we always talk about our foundation is agriculture and youth, we always talk about multi-use and maximizing that year-round. So an example is we had some dormitories that were only used during the fair. They're now used as office space. We have three tenants that are housed in that space, and we have realigned the use during the fair into other areas. We're also using a building as a church. When we redid the Coliseum, it has to, number one, serve our number one customer, and that's the fair and livestock, but it has to be able to have an ice plant because we got a primary tenant of a minor hockey league. And then we're also, as you spoke of, Al, with basketball, we're constantly saying, how can a building serve multiple functions? The market segments are different. I mean, when I started here, it was every single weekend we had an antique show and a flea market. And now I think we have one antique show a year. So you have to constantly be creative and understanding what trends. There were trends that happened several years ago with runs and races, and that's maxed out. Now we don't have as many of those kinds of events. You really got to pay attention to the trends. Right now, I would say the market that has evolved during COVID are youth sports, volleyball, gymnastics, cheerleading, where high schools haven't been able to allow those events. We have found a nice little niche in that youth sports market. So it's, again, understanding the trends, thinking creatively, and thinking about it as multi-use. We're just now designing a swine barn to replace the 100-year-old building, as Jerry talked about deferred maintenance. It is seeing its day. Not only are we talking about it as a swine barn, we're also talking about an indoor track and field location, maximizing that use. So a couple examples.
I take from that particularly the multi-use point. The other thing is also we recognize you do have some facilities on your campus that we do not have, such as that the size of that indoor coliseum. Let me turn to Marla. Illinois is not the only state looking at ways to boost its state fair and the use of its grounds and to find ways to attract additional financial support. Cindy's talked a little bit about the Indiana State Fair, but are there other states that you would have us look at that have had great success? And what advice would you have for Illinois leaders in terms of how to look at these various issues?
One of the fairs that comes to mind is a relative young fair, and it's the Georgia National Fair located in Perry, Georgia. It's on the major interstate that runs north and south. It's about just 2 hours south of Atlanta. That property was carved out of a soybean field, and I've had a chance to visit that fair since year number two, all the way up until just a month ago. Well, 3 weeks ago, I was on property for a meeting. It is amazing how that fairgrounds and the development has changed that community. Perry itself is only like a 16,000 population, but that fairgrounds is in use constantly. It was purpose built, which is, as we know, a disadvantage whenever we have these historic properties, such as Illinois State Fair, you know, landmark type of properties. But I think it shows the power of the state getting behind a facility and putting the money into it to make it happen. It's just a tremendous success story. Another one that comes to mind, and I have to admit I'm less familiar with it, but certainly if we look at the model where the state has made the commitment to fund, would be the New York area. And of recent, for example, in 2018, they just built a $63 million exposition center, which is the largest exposition center north of New York City between Boston and Cleveland. And it's part of a something like perhaps what you're doing there. It's called CNY, Central New York Rising. And it's an economic development group, and it has received, that group has received funding from the state, and they're making a huge impact. But the state alone, $63 million for that, and another $50 million improvements on the grounds. One of the pieces of data I had was that between 2016 and 2017, the number of people attending non-fair events increased by 57%. So it's making a huge impact there on Syracuse. And if you look at Syracuse itself, the market's not perhaps that much different than Springfield, Illinois. Looking across the country, just a few more I might point out in terms of some aspects of total support that we're going to get into later in the discussion. Certainly the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines, another historic property, large property, different market area. But here we're going to talk about a little bit different. It's not part of the state in terms of the state funding, but they've got a foundation, which we're going to address. The properties of Wisconsin State Fair, New Mexico State Fair, Ohio State Fair, and then the Kentucky State Fair. And Kentucky is pretty much in its own class. They are really known more for their non-fair rentals and have purposely built that.
Cindy Hoy, and examples on how states around the country are innovating their fairs and fairgrounds. You're listening to Community Voices. This is the Next 10 Extra panel on activating the state fairgrounds year-round. When we return, how to maximize the fairgrounds with rentals and its foundation.